The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It's a general knowledge Wednesday day on the Mike Missinelli Show. But I got to be honest with you. I got beefs. I got all kinds of beefs today. There's not one thing I'm feeling good about right now. Today. I got to be honest with you. Let's go through the list here. Because I want to try to do this at least lightheartedly. But it's really hiding an inner rage that's going on with me now. So we'll start with the Phillies. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I said, well, you know, they have a different look about them. And now they don't. And so yesterday, I'm looking at some things that happened in the game. And I'm bewildered by stuff that happened in the game. And the first thing I was bewildered about, we were still on the air. And Tyrone pipes into me, Roman Quinn just got thrown out stealing third base. I go, stealing third base? Why is he trying to steal third base with one out? You can't make that out of third base. You're in scoring position already. Plus, you run like a 4-3. Right? So I'm going, what could possibly have made him want to steal? Now, I there was a double steal on. And I'm going, okay, did they actually put the double steal on to get another runner in a scoring position? If so, then it's not Roman Quinn's idea, but I never really found out the answer to that question. And little things like this have been happening, and the things that I noticed that I'm not hearing people question about. Now, let's go later in the game with Hector Neris blowing the save, where he's got, I guess it's Alonzo that's up. Alonzo's up. He throws the two splitters as Alonzo misses by at least a foot and a half. For some reason, a fastball is called in that situation, and he takes the hitter off the hook, and he lines it to center field. And I'm going, okay, who called that pitch? Did that come from the dugout? Did that come from the catcher? It was Knapp was the catcher. What would possess him to call that pitch there? Well, possess Roman Quinn to try to steal third base. There's a lot of weird things that are going on with the Phillies right now. Not the least of which is today, Didi Gregorius got hammered by Matt Galb in the Athletic for not fielding his position and not trusting a second baseman on relay throws and stuff like that. The Phillies all of a sudden are upside down, and I haven't even gotten to the center field problem, which is now pathetic. So they lose a doubleheader to the Mets. They shouldn't have lost a doubleheader to the Mets. So now we're resetting with Philly analysis. So that's one thing that's bugging me there. I got these little flames in me. Now, I don't even want to bring up the flame that's the Flyers. I look at the game last night, and like a damn fool, I go, well, that's probably a stay-away game because the Capitals are only minus 160. Turned out it was the steal of the night. And the Flyers are like hanging around. I just want them out of my sight. I don't even want to have to pay attention to them anymore. I don't want the news to report on them anymore. All they're doing is tweaking me. So now let's go to the Sixers. Well, they haven't done anything to aggrieve me, except tonight is going to be a nothing game because the Nets are playing cagey with everybody, not playing anybody. They even mentioned what Kyrie Irving, I assume he's the only one that's going to play tonight. Everybody else is out. So we're not going to get any kind of a look at what this matchup could be. It's like a wasted game that they're playing tonight. And then there's Ben Simmons on social media defending himself defensively again. I don't want to hear from Ben. I don't want to hear from Ben anymore. I'm sorry. If you're not doing this
on social media,
he's still talking. He was touting his defensive abilities again. And all right, I know about that already. But come on, man, not now. He had six shots the other night, and so I replied something, and people were getting on me protecting Ben on social media. So I'm angry about that. And not only that, now I listen to the Anthony show, and they play Alec Hallaby, who we talked about yesterday as the guy who runs the black ops within the Eagles, the analytics guy who seems to be running more things than the actual football people. And I'm going, my whole world is upside down with these teams. And I got venom and anger. And this is a classic example. Like, I don't know how we can feel comfortable anymore. First of all, when Jeffrey Lurie took over the ownership, I remember the conversation being, Jeffrey Lurie is a football fantasy football player, and as one of his main passions. And he was fortunate enough to parlay that into actually owning a football team for real. But if you look at everybody now that's taken the same track, Howie takes that same track. So a non-football guy who never played a sport buys the team. A non-football guy who never played a sport is now the high-ranking executive as the general manager. And now there's another guy that has never played a sport. The analytic guy from Harvard is actually running the organization. And I got to be honest with you, Tyrone, I'm not comfortable with that.
Well, it shouldn't. I'm working on finding that audio. But, Ben Simmons didn't tweet anything. Well, that was ESPN who tweeted
ESPN
that.
Oh, ESPN tweeted. All right.
Yeah.
ESPN,
I was going to say, Ben hasn't talked
all right,
about
ESPN
it.
ESPN tweeted it, and I replied to it, and now people are coming at me that I'm picking on Ben again. I'm not picking on. I just don't want to read that about how good his defensive abilities are a couple days after he only takes six shots. All right? So that's just that. Yeah. I'm just on nerve today.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm edgy.
I'm
edgy today.
The Eagles thing, to me, is still the most concerning. Right now, the Phillies are up there because Haseley's out. He's out. I can't do it. He's out of Club Tyrone. I can't. I won't. So he's gone. Korkmaz is in. Korkmaz is in Club Tyrone. Haseley's out. That's trouble with the center field. And this manager so far, now last year it was like a 60-game thing. It was a bit of a pass. I don't know if they look like. Now, I don't know what a baseball – maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know what a baseball manager does. But they also struggled on the road. And to me, I was told that the Charlie Manuel's best quality was the fact that he made the guys feel comfortable, mm-hmm. their minds were right, and they went out and they just performed.
Yep.
When a team struggles on the road the way this team does over an extended period, that tells me that the manager is not able to get inside the heads of these guys to get them to play this similar to the way that they play at home.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and they've been playing against very limited crowds. And, I mean, there's a few fans there, but it's nothing where that should be intimidating or something like that. And these guys have been going on the road their whole lives, so I don't understand that. So I'm worried about the manager, and then that trickles into decisions in the game. Are these the players, or is Joe Girardi not doing as good a job as we should expect? So that's a bit of a worry. The Sixers thing, that's not the Sixers' fault. It's just, the Nets, I think it's, I get why they're not playing Durant.
Well, I was kind of looking forward to this game. What am I looking forward to? It's like you can't get anything out of this game tonight.
No, national TV, so it's not even on NBC Sports Philadelphia tonight. It's I don't know. And now I'm worried about the game in a way because there's no way if you're Simmons and Embiid, you're all hyped for this game, and then you find out nobody's playing, that you start that game with the same level. You just don't. You're a human being, so I don't feel good about that. Yeah, nothing is that good right now.
Nothing's good right now. And I the couple things that happened in the doubleheader yesterday, I'll get some answers. I haven't read any answers. They're not questioned anymore? Like, was Joe Girardi not asked why Roman Quinn would try to steal third base or why he might have a double steal on? Was anybody questioned about why Neris would go away from the splitter after Alonzo couldn't hit it with a boat oar? And they throw a fastball in his letters? Where are these questions?
Well, it's been challenging with some of that. In between the two games was particularly challenging to get answers about Quinn's stupidity. That's still one of the dumber moves.
Unless the manager put on double steal on because Bamboo Brad was on first base. Now, when you double steal, you're looking at the lead runner. And if the lead runner goes, you go. But I don't know, maybe a double steal was put on. I need to find this out because if so, it's stupid. And I think it gives me a chance to rip the manager like we ripped Kapler.
But I don't think Bamboo Brad went.
I read that it was a double steal.
Right,
so I didn't see that's in the game account. But I didn't read why they would do that.
You got a power hitter up.
Yeah, I don't completely understand.
And it was two outs.
Took the bat out of Hoskins' hands.
Yeah.
There. All right. So there's all these little things. So let me attach it to the baseball because I've been hearing today. I think Anthony is anti the. I think 7-8 doubleheaders are great, and I'm like an old school baseball guy, and I think the guy on second base in extra innings is great because here's what we have learned in sports. That the only thing really that matters is the playoffs. You want the best baseball, the best basketball, the best football to be played in the playoffs. when you put a seven-inning rule in for a doubleheader, I mean, how many doubleheaders are going to happen anyway, right? It's not like you're going to have 20 doubleheaders and you could deprive people of four innings each night. You're saving your team pitching-wise, stress-wise, whatever. I don't find anything wrong with a seven-inning game, and I'm a baseball purist. And I think the guy on second base makes it really exciting, and it shortens the game. I don't want to see 16-inning games where you're using up your bullpen, you got to do a position player. The whole point, pitching is important in this game now. If you put in a measure that can sustain pitching over a longer season, you're going to get better baseball. So that's why I like those rules. But, like, of all people, I'm reading a tweet last night, Jimbo.
Yeah.
Jim Gardner comes out.
Yeah,
Jim. And goes, what is this, a Little League game?
Yeah,
yes, I saw the Jim.
Game goes, yes. I took a shot. I said, I replied to Jim, adapt or die, which is a line from Moneyball. And I was like tongue in cheek. And then people started hammering me for being disrespectful to Jim Gardner.
Well, see, I've been getting that for a while because Jim Gardner, you know, we love, he's an institution. But.
Yes.
You know, but he was wrong about the Bryce Harper thing. Just get it done. If he doesn't want to be here, just use the money elsewhere, which was a huge mistake by Mr. Gardner. And now this seven-inning thing for doubleheaders. Why do I think I'm watching Little League Baseball?
What is so bad about seven-inning doubleheaders? You're saving stress on a pitching staff and your players.
And then he throws in. And starting an extra inning with the man on second, that's what we used to do in our wiffle ball league in the 1960s.
There's nothing wrong with that either. You're preserving. It's 162 games. Pitchers go down. They grind all season long. And then you bitch and moan at the end when you don't have pitchers available. And those are two rules that have helped the game.
Well, they lost, so I think that's why.
All right. All right, we'll talk about a variety of these things because I got the red ass today, as they say in baseball, and it happens to be General Knowledge Wednesday. So that'll calm me down a little bit. And General Knowledge Wednesday is presented by Testa North America, the choice of HVAC techs who can have the most accurate, reliable, and high tech measurement tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. Okay, so today's prize. Oh my God. I don't even know if I could say this with a straight face, but listen, it is a great prize. I just wish it was like at another time. But five lucky listeners who get a question correct today will win a pair of tickets for the Flyers versus the Washington Capitals on Saturday, April 17th, this Saturday.
Yeah.
At the Wells Fargo Center. It's a 12:30 game. Now, there may be a lot of people that haven't been to a hockey game in a long time. There might be a lot of brothers out there who would like to go to a hockey game. And this is your main chance.
Well, and it's a nice thing to do.
It's an activity.
It's a big day on Saturday.
It's a good prize. Five lucky listeners get a pair of tickets, giving away 10 tickets.
You can see Gritty.
You could do a doubleheader, too. You could go to the Flyers game, then go across and do the Phillies.
Yes.
You do a doubleheader right
there. So if you haven't been to a Flyers game in a while or you don't have tickets for this game, this is a good chance for you to get them. And now single game tickets are on sale at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. But we're going to give away a pair to five lucky listeners today. And here are the topics for General Knowledge Wednesday. We're going to go with history general knowledge, huh? I'm taking it up a notch.
Yay!
Yeah, I know your history.
Exciting.
Baseball MVPs.
Okay.
Analogies.
Oh, I love
you
analogies.
You like analogies.
I love analogies.
And every Oscar-nominated actor is one of the topics.
Oh, phenomenal.
One of the subjects.
These are great.
So we're going to have fun. We're going to give away Flyers tickets. We're going to talk about all these issues. I want to hear, if you're listening, Jimbo's a big fan. And so I'm sure Jimbo might be listening right now.
Yeah.
Jimbo, I'd love to take your phone call on this 7-inning thing. We'll have a little debate. Oh, why the 7-inning doubleheaders? I think it's very refreshing.
You know how I feel about Jim.
Well, listen, you know how I feel.
I'm a big fan of Jim, but I don't know. I think he's missing a point here with these 7-inning doubleheaders. I think it's a great addition for baseball.
Legends are wrong sometimes too.
Exactly.
You tried to get him on for the LeBron stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been trying to chase Jim for a while. We were supposed to play golf together.
You were?
Yeah.
That's my
we could make it. We're going to do home and home golf with him. He's an avid golfer. Last time I talked to him, he said he hadn't been playing very much. And, you know, he didn't think he'd be very, you know, good. And whatever. You know.
Can I drive the cart?
Dun, 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 dun. See, that's what I'd be doing after he hit his drive. I go, dun, dun. That's what walking down the fair. Dun, 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 dun. All right, 610-632-0975 back after this. All righty, it's General Oz Wednesday day, and the 2 o'clock hour of the show is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon, Conklin, Tension HVAC Contractors. For equipment parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's county locations in Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. All right, let's start our Twitter poll. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, let me steer you to Paul B. Moyer and Sons. See, you're going to get the old-fashioned customer service there. You know exactly what they're talking about. They got the product. They'll tell you how to use it, all that. And you can order online at paulbmoyer.com. All right, Nat, what do we have?
Alrighty, Mike, over 200 votes on this one early. What's your biggest concern for the Phillies with what we've seen through the first 2 weeks of the season? 23% say the 4 and 5 starters, 48% say center field, 29% say lack of offense.
All right, listen, they're okay, team. It's not where I'm not blowing a siren yet for this team. There's just a couple things that happened at doubleheader that I need explanation for, frankly, as a consumer and a baseball fan. Yeah. Why would you try to steal third there? And why would you throw a fastball? Like, what is the thought process in you throwing a fastball there to Alonso?
I don't know. I don't know. And if it is, doesn't it have to be in the dirt?
Yeah.
I mean, you're ahead of the count. Yeah, you're ahead of the count.
If you throw a pitch a guy doesn't have a clue on, like, why do you give him a clue? Like, I don't understand that. So who called it? Because I don't know if they trust Knapp to call pitches. You know, sometimes these guys, they look in the dugout, somebody's flashing them a sign. So somebody's responsible for that. I want to ask that person, why? Why would you do that? What are you trying to accomplish there with the fastball? First of all, his fastball's not that great.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was a lot of weird things. Mm-hmm.
All right, now, regarding the 7-inning thing, because the Cuz is anti-7-inning, because, you know, he's the purest guy, and I'm a purist, too, but there's no reason not to have 7 innings doubleheader. First of all, it's quicker. You get it over, you don't want, like that, the first game took 3 hours, right? You want to have extra innings and make it 5, and then you got to play another game? Like, that's turning fans off. At least you see an end. With 7 innings, you see an end. You see a starting pitcher who can maybe go 7, for crying out loud. You don't have to piecemeal a bullpen. And you're doing it like once every 2 months, a doubleheader.
That's what I think, at least until baseball does my retractable dome for all stadiums plan. Then you won't have to worry about any.
I'm just trying to save the game for the end. Because the end is what matters.
Yeah, it's already a slog. And then, I don't know. There's certain things with baseball that I don't understand where people want to be so pure about certain things, but then they want to bastardize it completely about other things. Like, right, you can always shift. You could always been allowed to shift from the beginning of time. It's just people do it more. Those same people, I'm not talking about Cuz specifically, who are against the, they'll be for taking away the shift. So they'll say, hold on, you can't mess with this stuff, but you can mess with this other stuff. So that doesn't make sense to me either.
People don't understand that you see these guys, they torque their arms to the max. Their arms are torqued. Nobody's getting away with throwing 90 anymore. So guys are coming in and throwing gas, okay? Now, especially when you have the Phillies and you have 4 and 5, and you're going to have to use up that bullpen. So you want more innings? You want more innings to destroy your bullpen? And for the runner on second base, I don't want to see a 15-inning game. I don't want to see it anymore. I got to be honest with you. That bores me, a 15-inning game. It's not like sudden death goal. A 15-inning game can go on forever. So I love the strategy part of it. People that don't like that guy on second base rule are missing the whole strategy of it. They're giving you a run at second base. Now it's up to you to strategize to get that run across. And you can do it with a bunt. You can do it by hitting behind a runner. You can trust your hitter. Whatever it is, it puts more onus on the pitcher to try to get out of that situation. That's exciting.
Also, one thing I am tired of is position players having to pitch. Gabe Kapler. I was one of his many stupid
things. And why they do that? Because they're saving their pitchers.
Right, and he was like, yeah, we train our guys to do that. That's where he had his boy, Sean Rodriguez.
Oh, that's right.
That was his guy. He said he was trained. We train guys to do that. And,
yeah, well, you don't need to train them.
No, he was training them. Remember, you brought that up. Like, he's like, why the hell are you training them? We train our guys to do that. I was like, so there's times where they're not doing batting practice because they got to train to pitch.
Have we learned to accept the shootout now in hockey? At first, well, oh my God, the shootout. Well, those games could go on forever. The shootout's why I've learned to like the shootout now.
Right, you get it done. And then in the playoffs, there's no shootout. In the playoffs, it's different.
Right. Now, they give you a chance to win it in overtime, that 5-minute little 4-on-4. I think it's a good idea. Once you get through that, let's end the game. Let's go home.
Right, and you go home with the victor. It's not a tie. You go home with the winner.
Now, I would like to see them remove the stupid one-point rule, but that's hockey, and they do things ass backwards.
Well, yeah.
All right. Yeah, you bet.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We scan the globe for very unusual or interesting or humorous stories with Natalie Eganoff. Here is Nat's news.
That's right, Mike. First story of the day is going to take us to Pakistan, where nurses have been charged with blasphemy.
Ooh.
So, yeah, right? Hundreds of hospital staff stage a protest against two nurses on Friday, claiming that they committed blasphemy by removing a sacred inscription sticker from a cupboard. Some of the rioters assaulted a police vehicle parked inside the hospital to take one of the nurses into custody. Still, the officers locked her inside the van to protect her from the protesters. According to the police officer, two nurses committed blasphemy. But yeah, they removed the sticker from a ward where psychiatric patients were being handled.
What was the sticker?
It said that the sticker, it just had some sort of inscription on it. And that they were not allowed to remove the sticker.
Wow.
So the hospital administration called the police, took the nurse into protective custody, and transported her to a sacred location.
Wow, there's no joke there in Pakistan.
No, it must not be.
For a sticker?
Over a sticker,
That's a sacred
for blasphemy.
Sticker. It must be a sacred sticker.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine any sticker would be sacred.
That's what I'm
saying. Maybe an inscription in wood or something
like
that.
No, it doesn't say.
Or a stone carving.
By removing a sacred inscription sticker from a cupboard.
Yeah, but that's
I don't know what that is. A sacred inscription sticker.
Yeah, it must be a sticker.
Come out in the 60s?
Our stickers might be different than what their stickers are.
Yeah, maybe stickers would mean something.
We do a smiley face. They do inscriptions of Muslim proverbs.
Yeah, something. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't know that maybe in Pakistan you could be charged with blasphemy.
Be charged with anything in Pakistan.
Really?
charged for a lot of stuff.
No joke in Pakistan. Yeah, they got different laws on the board up there.
It caused this huge deal.
Yeah, it's no good.
I always thought, growing up in the Catholic Church, seeing a blasphemy charge was just really
interesting. Well, how's she going to ever duck that blasphemy charge? That's going to stick with her forever. She can't be safe.
I mean, they're going to fight it, but I don't know. I guess they'll have to move. It's two nurses, so they must have removed the sticker together.
They got to go to India.
Perhaps.
They go south, young ladies.
Perhaps.
They get out of there.
Yeah. So if anybody remembers Steve Urkel from Family Matters, which is a show that I don't think gets the respect it deserves, and I wish that it would... Does it re-air anywhere, Ty? No.
I don't think so.
No. That Moesha Martin...
Moesha's back. That's on Netflix.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Moesha's on Netflix.
Wait, Family Matters doesn't hold up?
No.
Okay.
Like when he makes the transition from Steve Urkel to Stefan Urkel,
he
does not hold up at all.
I remember it as a kid. Anyway, actor.
I never watched the show. So
really? Yeah. Oh, I loved Family Matters.
Steve Urkel. Loved it then.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Jaleel White, who played Urkel, he has launched his own cannabis line called Purple Urkel.
Bad boy.
Yeah. So, he has the
Purple Urkel.
It's called Purple Urkel.
Purple Urkel.
That's strong.
I know. I know. I probably try it just for the name. The brand will be on dispensary shelves in California and going to more marketplaces in the future. He said that it always stood out to him that there was no clear brand leader for Fire Purple Weed, he said. It made no sense to me that no company of significance had claimed this lane, so why not me? You know, I guess he's trying to reinvent himself now since he hasn't really done much since the early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
And this is the lane that he's trying to get into. But I feel like it worked because it was trending on the internet and everybody kind of...
Yeah, listen, good for him.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted a little bag of Purple Urkel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great
name.
Nothing
wrong with that.
That's a great name.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. As long as it's good stuff, that's going to sell for a while.
So he's really excited that his legendary character is now, you know, kind of enshrined in and immortalized in weed forever.
If he's getting it from Prop Joe, it's going to be good. If he's, you know, the Barksdale thing is no good.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of support behind him, and he's been growing it for a while, and, you know, now he's in the biz, so Purple Urkel. Wow. Coming to a store in California and perhaps Pennsylvania and New Jersey sometime in the near future.
That's awesome.
All right, so the next story is a poll states that 46% of Americans would like to see Dwayne The Rock Johnson run for president. And The Rock says if it ever happens, it would be my honor to serve you, the people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so allegedly over the weekend, a poll was released, and 12 people said that they'd support Matthew McConaughey. Other stars that Americans would like to see include Angelina Jolie at 30%, Oprah Winfrey at 27%, Mike's favorite Tom Hanks at 22%, and Will Smith at 21%.
I'm trying to think this through. Now, he has talked about this.
Yeah.
He talked about possibly in the next 4 years from now being the time when he would run. He has talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a poll from Newsweek, too.
Yeah, so it's somewhat legit.
Yeah.
The Rock probably, if he actually was serious about it, he probably would have a chance. I don't know if I'd vote for him, because I don't like The Rock like that.
Right.
Since he did that stupid bloody video. People got mad at me. How dare you question The Rock? He's our God.
I wouldn't have a problem with The Rock. I think The Rock could be a good leader.
I think he could be a good leader. That's why I think he can really win. It's just I don't like Rock fans. I actually have no beef with The Rock.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I like The Rock when he was with the WWE. But I don't like Rock fans because they're a little too
too zealous.
Yeah, calm down. You don't know him for real. Mm-hmm. They treat him like he's their cousin or something.
What's interesting, among the female candidates, Angelina Jolie and Oprah kind of like, you know, smoked the competition. It was Dolly Parton with 12%.
I would vote for Dolly. She's just a little up in age.
Yeah. Ellen DeGeneres, 9%. Nope. Meryl Streep, 9%. Nope. Helen Mirren, 7%, and Jane Fonda, 6%.
I ain't gonna vote for Helen Mirren.
Look, she was on the poll.
I don't think she's born here.
So Tom Hanks with the
male. Oh, no, Tom Hanks.
Helen Mirren makes the
list. 22%, 21% Will Smith. I'd vote for Will.
I don't know.
George, speaking of George Clooney, 17%, DiCaprio, 13%, Harrison Ford, 10%, Robert Downey Jr., 9%, and Robert De Niro with 8%, which I feel is a little low.
It's a little low. I wouldn't vote for Robert Downey Jr.
Nah.
No.
I wouldn't vote for him.
No.
Oprah is, to me, obvious because she's shown leadership.
And 29% say that they would vote for both Matthew McConaughey and The Rock together. On one ticket.
I don't want Matthew McConaughey near my
ticket. He was just on SportsCenter today.
Yeah, but he's outside. He'd be outside the White House nude.
I know, playing the bongos.
Yeah, I can't have that. I got to have decorum. He
lives
decorum
on the edge.
So I'm okay with The Rock. Keep him far away.
Yeah.
The McConaughey.
But apparently 63% of Americans believe Hollywood stars can make good politicians with the right attitude and support staff.
Well, you got Reagan and Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that's true.
There's precedent for it.
Yeah.
And by the way, have you ever heard of this show since you talked about Urkel? Did you ever used to watch Boy Meets World?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I saw like every episode of Boy Meets World.
Did I watch Boy Meets World?
You did. You know the girl in Boy Meets World.
Topanga. Danielle Fishel.
No. That's somebody. The other.
The girl. She's doing adult films.
She went porn.
Which one?
Maitland Ward. Redhead.
That was when they were older.
Oh, was it his brother? Was it the older brother's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
no, I did not know that.
Somebody was talking about it recently on TMZ. She's won awards. I haven't seen any of her films.
She's taken it by storm.
Yes.
Wow.
She says it put her career back on track.
Oh, well, I did not know that.
Not what she thinks. It's because that'll put her in a regular movie, but apparently she's won awards.
Yeah, I remember her on Boy Meets World.
She didn't win any awards for Boy Meets World.
She was slaying the porn industry.
Is that what he said?
Well,
she's winning awards. They said she's winning awards at the AVN.
Good for her. She continued her acting career.
She's got a niche. She's the redhead.
Right? I mean,
you know?
Yeah.
Redhead niche.
Booney's right, though. Team Topanga all the way.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm still sad about when she was going to move to Pittsburgh and then she came back for Corey. But, like, it's kind of flawed now because she was going to give up her college dreams for Corey and it just didn't really make much sense. But, yeah.
All right. Enough. Yes. Was that it?
That's all I got for today, Mike. All.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
The Phillies lose a doubleheader to the Mets. It's not the end of the world, but there's some signs that aren't pleasurable right now to Philly fans as they look at it. And frankly, they'd be right. It was like a microcosm of what's going on right now. They are not hitting, and those two games against the Mets kind of proved it, and it proved they had a problem in center field, and that was changed today. So let's talk about these issues with the man who covers the Phillies for the Inquirer, Matt Breen. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
All right, first things first, Matt. The center field move that was made today, they bring up Moniak and Adam Haseley, personal reasons. Do we know anything more about what they are?
No, we don't. Joe Girardi spoke this afternoon. He said that he talked to Haseley this morning on the phone. They discussed whatever these personal reasons are, and they agreed that it was best that he goes on the restricted list, which is an unpaid leave of absence, and they don't have a timetable for his return. And now Mickey Moniak's in the majors because of that.
Wow, that's peculiar. And, you know, listen, we all feel bad when something like this happens to a player. He looked like a guy that really lacked confidence, and I don't know, I don't want to speculate on what they are. But anyway, you indicated in today's piece that they would have to make a change because their center fielders were hitting 131 with a 372 OPS. So they did make the change. Now, Moniak, I assume, will only play against right-handers, and Quinn's getting the start tonight. So I guess they have no other choice but to play Quinn.
Yeah, so Moniak, this was as of 3:15. Girardi wasn't even sure if he was in New York yet. So that's why he's not in the lineup tonight. But I think you're going to see a decent amount of starts by Mickey Moniak where they're going to give him a chance. And that was the one reason that they didn't want to have him on the opening day roster, even though he looked good in spring training, is that they wanted him to play every day. And they thought he would get better everyday reps in Allentown. And now he's up here. And I think it's his development-wise, it's better for him to play every day, see what he has, instead of keeping him on the bench when I think we've seen – I know it's only been 11 games through this season, but if you go back to last year, I think we've seen a sample size of Roman Quinn where, you know, I'd prefer to see what Mickey Moniak has.
So you're suggesting that he'll play every day?
I don't know if it's every day, but I think it's not going to be once a week. It's not going to be sparingly. I think you're going to see a decent size of starts by Mickey Moniak, assuming that Adam Haseley's absence is a decent amount of time.
All right, let's go now through the problems that we saw. And let me give you a couple specifics from yesterday. The steal of third by Quinn is peculiar to me for a number of reasons. The manager said he didn't have a problem with it. Well, I certainly do. I mean, if you've got a hitter who drives the ball with runners at first and second, a gap is going to score both those guys anyway. A single is going to score him. Why would the manager not have a problem with that play, even though he did, I guess he was safe and just misinterpreted and came off the bag?
Yeah, I watching the game, I was surprised that they were stealing. It didn't seem like a situation where you're stealing third with one out, down a run. Rhys Hoskins is up. Bryce Harper's on deck. And Roman Quinn, you know, one of the fastest players in baseball. So he's on second. He might as well be on third anyway. It's just, it's not worth the risk. And that's what happens. The rally ends. And that first game maybe is a lot different if, A, if Roman Quinn doesn't steal, or B, if Roman Quinn does steal like he did and just stays on third base and he's safe, you have Harper coming out with two men on and two outs. So maybe the game, you know, the Phillies take the lead right there instead of coming away with nothing. I thought it was just a really, you know, just a bad baseball move to steal in the first place, and then even worse to get off the bag not knowing where the ball was.
Yeah, it's surprising the manager didn't have a problem with it, but maybe he's covering up for the guy. All right, now let's look at, they lose game one, and Aaron Nola is the guy who's your ace, and you would expect that he's got to carry the mail there. Now, again, they didn't hit, but what's the word on Nola early in the season? Is it just too early to determine?
Yeah, I think it's too early. Two starts against the same team. Teams have seen him a lot last season, the Braves and the Mets. But he doesn't look, you know, the Aaron Nola that we've seen in the past. The game for opening day was very good. Last two starts, not so much. Shying away from his two-seam fastball, which, you know, is a really big weapon for him. Not sure why. But it's tough to make a judgment, you know, in cold weather in April. I'm not trying to make excuses, just thinking this out, you know, before we jump on, you know, is there an Aaron Nola problem? I think it's just, I would like to see five starts and not three starts before I really, you know, got into it.
Yeah, I got that. Now, let's look at this lineup, because when we look at the lineup at the start of the season, we see names that look like they're hitters, right? Now, in the last two games, one extra base hit, they struck out 14 times. Two chances were run into scoring position in the second game. You know, these are names, but they might be older names now. So have we overrated what this offense is?
Possibly. And it's like the sample size, again, like 11 games. Is it too much to draw conclusions? Probably. But I think it's fair to wonder that maybe, you know, the Andrew McCutchen, you know, got old really fast. And Didi Gregorius possibly got old really fast. So those are two really big hitters in your lineup, and they haven't been producing. And that's the problem. When Andrew McCutchen's batting leadoff and batting a buck something, you know, that's an issue. So the strikeouts, 14 strikeouts and 27 at bats is just absurd in game one yesterday. You just can't do that. And the strikeout, it wasn't just, you know, limited to yesterday. Strikeouts have been a problem all year. They were a problem last year. So that has to get cut down. But I think, you know, it's okay to worry about this lineup being a tad overrated. They haven't produced the way they were supposed to, and they really didn't produce the way they were supposed to last year, in the first half of last year, when they really could have made a bigger push for the playoffs.
Yeah, let me ask you, because this puts extra emphasis on the guys who look at and they go, yeah, they are hitters. And Boma's convinced me that he is a hitter. But would they like to see more power strokes from him instead? He loves to push the ball to right center. And if you watch all his at-bats, he always got his hands inside the ball. And he's a good hitter, and I like him. But in a fifth spot, might they need a little more pop from him in the future?
Yeah, I think you would, just because of what we were just talking about. When the rest of the lineup's not producing power, you know, you need that from Alec Boehm, where if everybody else is hitting, is producing power the way that you expect them to, then you could hide Alec Boehm five, and what he does is great, and that's good enough because everybody else is producing. But now you almost need, and it's not really fair, a guy that played a half of a rookie season last year to come in and really carry this lineup, because the veterans aren't really carrying their weight. And I think you're going to see more power from Alec Boehm as he gets older, as he gets stronger. You know, he has a great approach at the plate right now, but I think eventually that will come. The power, it seems like that's always what comes last for hitters. And I think the Phillies really need that to come sooner, just because of what's going on around him.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. And you hate to put that kind of pressure on the kid, but they might need a little more sock from him. Last thing I'm talking about is the bullpen and their current configuration. Now, Archie Bradley hurts them. They bring Romero in there. Probably not as versatile as Archie Bradley would be. But let's talk about the closer role, because everybody reacts when you get a blown save. And Neris, I look at Neris as a guy who, he'll be okay as a closer, but he's not lights out as a closer. So how are they evaluating that now that, you know, a lot of people see the 100 on the gun with Alvarado, and they think he should be the closer? What are people saying about that?
I think Alvarado, yes, he does throw extremely hard. And when he has control, it's almost impossible to hit. But that's the key, is the control. The control has been an issue. It was an issue yesterday. I think Hector Neris is the closer right now. He was the closer on opening day. But I don't think that means he's the closer in May or June. Connor Brogdon, to me, has been the most impressive, reliable pitcher in that bullpen this season. And that goes back to last year when he came back from the minors. He was excellent as well. So I think you're going to see, they're going to let Hector Neris either keep the job or lose the job on his own. And I think eventually you'll see Connor Brogdon elevate to that role, wow, you know, sometime in May or June. I think he's the favorite, at least in my mind.
That's very interesting. I'd never even thought about it. He would be of that mindset yet to assume that role. But I guess if nobody else makes any sense, you might as well give it a shot. All right, so where are they right now? They're 6-5. You know, they started off really good, like they were a different team. They've come back down to earth a little bit. But I guess there's no reason to panic right now, right?
No, it's early, and I think we have to like reset our mindsets to the way we watched the season last year. In a 60-game season, 11 games is a pretty big chunk of 60 games, where 162, 11 games is really not a big chunk. It hasn't even been a month yet. So it's hard to reset how we watch the sport, because we're used to how we watched it last summer. But I think it's okay to be concerned, but I don't think it's time to panic yet. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to, yeah, it's baseball. You got to let it play out. Like I said, Aaron Nola's got to get more than 3 starts. The lineup has to play more than 11 games. So I think we'll have a better idea about this team, you know, more by the end of the month.
All right. And of course, Didi getting the rest tonight. Torrey Hayes in the lineup tonight. Interesting.
Yeah, Torres' first start. Didi, yesterday, defense was a little shaky, and I think it's fine to get him off his feet after playing a doubleheader yesterday.
Yeah. All right, Matt, always a pleasure, man. Thank you, and we'll talk to you up the road.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, Matt Breen, covering the Phillies for the Inquirer and the Comcast Business Hour. How about that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.